This is a CBC original podcast.
It was a rainy day, and so there were people huddled together. There was a lot of umbrellas, a lot of ponchos, and people from all over the world, people carrying flags from different countries, all hoping that their cardinal would be chosen as Pope.
There is a new Pope. White smoke belching from the narrow chimney on the roof of the Sistine Chapel, the bells pealing from St. Peter's Basilica.
When the white smoke came, they were singing and singing, and all the people around them joined in, and it was such a moment of joy and optimism. It was all surreal and just an amazing moment for myself personally as a Catholic, also as a reporter, covering the papal conclave, covering the Catholic Church and the Pope. It can often be difficult at times because you have to wrestle with your own belief system. At the same time, I always feel that it informs me a little bit better about what people in the church are saying as opposed to what people outside of the church are saying. And I feel like I can walk those two lines and that I don't necessarily close off that part of me that is a Catholic, but I allow that part to instruct how I cover the church, not necessarily to influence it. But let me start at the beginning. I'm Stephen D'Souza, and this is Backstory, the Papal Conclave 2013.
We are very, very happy having a new Pope in our midst. Very, very happy.
I think it's a great choice to have someone from Argentina. It's someone new, and it's a Jesuit priest, which is excellent.
You seem very happy about
this. Yes,
yep. Because we know he's very good.
Tell me what you know about him.
Very close to the poor people, to poor people. A very simple man.
Were you surprised when the
yes, yes, yeah. A good surprise.
Well, coming to Rome for the conclave, it was just a city abuzz because never in the history of the Catholic Church had there been a pope who was still alive, and then they were choosing a new pope. And so this was really uncharted territory, and even uncharted territory for myself going in on my first really foreign assignment.
Just such a buzz, and everyone's kind of excited just to like be here and be part of it.
It's amazing, really is amazing. Yeah, monumental time.
It was a lot to research, a lot to know about. There were so many different candidates for who could be the next pope, and preparing for the conclave was a lot like preparing for an exam, cramming at the last minute, because while I knew some of the names involved, I really didn't know all of their history, and you had to take all of that into consideration. So there was a lot to read and a lot to memorize and a lot to really understand so that when I was, you know, reporting that I actually could sound that I had some degree of expertise.
There is a dynamic that takes over once they're in the Sistine Chapel. The first vote kind of lays out the names. We will have a pope by the end of the week. I don't think this is going to be a long conclave.
So the way the conclave works is that all of the eligible cardinals gather at the Vatican inside the Sistine Chapel where the doors are locked, and for as long as it takes, they debate and vote amongst themselves to choose the next pope. And in this case, there were 115 cardinals, and what would happen is outside, Catholics and people from around the world would gather and watch this really small, tiny chimney above the Sistine Chapel to see the color of smoke. And what would happen is the ballots after each vote would be counted, and if there wasn't a pope chosen, they would burn the ballots and add a little bit of dye to the ballots. And if the smoke was black, it meant they hadn't chosen a pope. If the smoke was white, then that meant there was a new pope in place. And so there was a lot of build-up to the moment that the white smoke came. It came on the second day of the conclave, and first it was sort of anticlimactic because the smoke came out.
Oh, wait a minute, don't go away.
There's some
smoke. We've got
smoke,
and it's black smoke again.
And it was sort of grayish, and people were kind of looking at it thinking, well, is it really white?
Or is it white? Here we go again. Now that's white, and the crowd is reacting to white smoke. This is gushing white smoke now. Started off dark. This looks white. The crowd is responding big time.
And suddenly people started running, rushing towards the front of the square. It's something to see nuns in full sprint, hiking up their skirts and running at full sprint to get to as close to the front of St. Peter's Square as they could to see what was going on. And I was gathered with some other reporters, and as soon as that happened, the rush of adrenaline hit because it was a moment that we'd all been waiting for, and now the real work began.
Steve D'Souza is down there in that crowd right now, and it must be mayhem, Stephen.
Well, Peter, as soon as the smoke started to emerge, there was a cry from the thousands gathered here, and then as soon as they realized that it was in fact white, people began cheering and singing. You know, the spirits are quite high now. I'm seeing a lot of smiles on people's faces right now. A lot of photos being taken, and now, of course, they're quieted down.
The moment that the Pope finally walked out to the balcony was a surreal moment because you had thousands and thousands of people cramming into the square, but there was this hush of silence. It was as if there was nobody there at all, and everyone was looking up in anticipation. Everyone held up their cell phones to take pictures, to take video, and by this point it had gotten dark and it had been raining earlier in the day, but the skies had cleared and it was a perfect moment. And it was a sea of light, all of the phones illuminated. It was just quite a magical moment to see St. Peter's Square lit up in that way, and the faces of the people illuminated by the screens lit up as they stared, their eyes looking up, to hear the first words of the Pope. And he did what few even expected. He told a bit of a joke. He said,
"Buonasera."
That immediately set everyone at ease, as if a great weight had been lifted off the shoulders of the people in the crowd, wondering who this next pope would be, what his personality would be, what direction he would take the church.
I think his opening words were very moving, very intimate toward the people of Rome, asking them to pray for him, that he may bless them. So you see a closeness, I think, to the people.
Those simple words, saying "Buonasera," something as simple as saying "good evening," was enough to lighten the mood, and you could just see the joy in people's eyes and on their hearts as they looked up to welcome the new Pope.
Very happy, very happy. And that's a Pope that can care about the poor people.
I think we have a good Pope, and I think he'll be a good leader.
I think that exactly what the Church needs in this moment, something new, something that gives the energy for a change, because it's the way in which he communicates with people looks like really what we need in this moment, actually.
Just a few days after Pope Francis was elected, through some contacts, I was able to get a tour of the Vatican, and we walked into the Sistine Chapel, and the priest I was with actually took us into the Room of Tears, and that's the small little room in the back corner where the Pope would go to choose his vestments, to choose his name. And they call it the Room of Tears because most cardinals, when they're chosen, are so overcome with emotion that they break down and cry. And so there I was, 2 days after Pope Francis had been chosen, standing in the exact same spot that he was as he chose his name. And to stand there was quite an emotional experience, to know that Pope Francis had been in that same room. So it was all surreal and just an amazing moment for myself personally as a Catholic, also as a reporter, to really experience those places in a way that most people will never get a chance to.
He's come along at the right time, and he's making changes. And the changes are good, inviting more people in. I think he's back to what Christ was.
You know, as a reporter, you cover a lot of stories that are news-breaking. They're newsworthy stories, they're headlines, but they're not necessarily history. And this was really a historic moment, and that's really the first time I'd been part of a historic moment like that, to be there up close and personal, and something I can tell people years from now. You know, I was there when that happened, and so that was really some of the thoughts that were going through my mind at the time, but also I was just sort of taking it all in.
Oh, I'm just thrilled with Pope Francis. I think he's brought new life to the church. He's kind of like opened the windows, and he's just wonderful.
I really think Pope Francis has put the church in a different direction, has renewed hope for a lot of Catholics, and I think a lot of people are now more optimistic about the church than they were in the past. And so to be there at the beginning when he was first chosen, and now to see where he's come and where he's going now, has been a great personal achievement for me.
The story is turning the page, and it's very important for us. We need someone like him.
Backstory is recorded and produced by Cecil Fernandez. I'm Stephen D'Souza.
For more CBC Original Podcasts, go to cbc.ca/originalpodcasts.